Now let's look at this offering. It's a very interesting offering to me. And I'm reading verse 1, Leviticus 2. And when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. Now will you notice, first of all, it must be an offering that's made of fine flour. And fine flour in that day was a little unusual. They didn't have these great mills as they have up here at Minneapolis. Actually, they beat it by hand. They put it down in a kind of a rock bowl and used a pestle, I think they call it, and they just tromp it with that, just beat it down. Now, if a person was in a hurry, why, it would be coarse, you see, and uneven. And if it's going to be fine flour, it means it's even, and it means a great deal of time was taken with it. Now, this offering had to be made of very fine flour, which means it was well beaten. Now, I think this sets before us the Lord Jesus in his personality, and today I'm sure the expression would be that he'd be a well-integrated personality. He was a normal person. Actually, I think he's the only normal person that's ever been on this earth. Sin's made all of the race lumpy, one-sided, a lack of being normal. All of us are lumpy. One part of our personality is overdeveloped at the expense of other areas. I studied abnormal psychology in college. In fact, it was my second major, and I assisted the professor of the department for my last year in college. And in this course on abnormal psychology, I went in to see him one day and said, I'd like to talk with you. And he smiled, and he said, go ahead. And he said, I think I know what you're going to say. Well, I said, I don't imagine you do, because I want to say to you that every form of abnormality that we have been studying, and when we look at the etiology of the disease, I find I have symptoms of all these forms of abnormality. And he broke out in laughter, and he says, did you know I was wondering when you would come, because the rest of the class have all been here. They all have it. He said, and I have it too. All of us. I think it's Dr. Menninger over in Kansas that's made the statement that all of mankind today is a little off. We're all just a little off-center. And after all, what is normal? Well, that's the way that most of us act, and that's called normality. And that may be way out, friends. That's mankind today. Jesus was the normal person, made of even flour. Look at some of the ones in the Bible, how uneven they were. Samson, he was unable to perform great physical feats, but he was weak of both will and mind. And in fact, he's a sissy. We'll see that when we get to him. He's one of the biggest sissies in the Bible. And then Paul was a mental giant, but he appeared to be weak in body. And then Simon Peter was moved by his emotions. Even on one occasion, he declared he'd die for Jesus. Yet he denied him, revealing a definite weakness in the area of the volitional. And you remember, King Saul was self-willed and stubborn. He was unable to bow the knee in obedience to God. And this led, by the way, to his dismissal and to his death. All of these men were lumpy. They had over and under developed personalities. And in contrast to them and all of us, Jesus was well balanced. There was an equipoise in all areas of his personality. He could drive the money changers from the temple, but he could take little children in his arms. And when he was 12 years of age, the religious rulers marveled at his wisdom. And when he began to teach, the people were amazed, and they marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus never appealed to his intellect as the basis for any judgment. Have you ever noticed that? That was never the criterion for his conduct. He came to do the Father's will, and that was the motive for his actions. And Jesus could weep at the tomb of Lazarus or over the indifferent city of Jerusalem. And at the same time, he'd raise Lazarus and pronounce a severe judgment on Jerusalem, which was literally fulfilled. He was not swayed or guided by his emotions. And friends, he was never self-will, yet nothing could hinder him from going to Jerusalem to die. And at all times he could say, "It's not my will, but thine be done." And he could say, "I've come to do the Father's will." That was the thing. Then notice something else here. It says that he shall pour oil upon it. Now oil, olive oil, speaks of the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice here that it's oil upon the offering. Now if you go down to verses 4 and 5, you'll notice it's with oil. And it's mingled with oil. And then in verse 6, we're told you're to pour oil thereon. That is on the offering. And then in verse 7, it is with oil. Now here you have oil upon it, mingled with oil, pour oil on it, and with oil. In other words, that offering was really drenched with oil. And the oil was a very important part of the offering, and it was applied in many different ways. Now the prominence of the Holy Spirit in the human life of Jesus, I think, is very noticeable. Have you ever noticed he was born of the Spirit? That's mingled with oil. He was baptized of the Spirit, oil upon it. He was led of the Spirit, pour oil thereon. He taught, performed miracles, and offered himself in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's with oil. May I say that if the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, needed the Holy Spirit, what about you and what about me? I think we need him today. We can do nothing of ourselves. Now, there's something else here in this very first verse, frankincense. Now, frankincense was made of a secret formula. It was a form of incense, of course, and it was mixed with incense. We saw that back in the 30th of Exodus. But it was distinguished from it. It was made from some part of a plant or tree, perhaps the bark or the leaves, and it exuded its fragrance only when crushed or beaten or burned or put under pressure. Now, this speaks of the life of the Lord Jesus as he manifested the fragrance of his life under the fires of tension and pressures and persecution and even death. Actually, this is what the Father saw in him as the one in whom he delighted. There's a fragrance about his life. And there ought to be that fragrance about our lives also.